Well, good morning, everybody. It's the monthly meeting for the Constable Ethics Standards and Training Board. It's April 10th, 2025. And we are here this morning for our monthly meeting. As we go through, I want to make a great announcement today, and that is the fact that we do have Ms. Becker, who has come on to join the board. Very appreciative of the governor's office making that appointment. I did have a opportunity maybe a week or two ago to just meet with Ms. Becker and Ms. Bach to go over a few basics on the meetings. So we are very happy to have you here, Ms. Becker. You just know coming in, you were greatly appreciated. So thank you. Thank you for putting yourself out there and being a part of our organization. Miss Courtney, and I'm sorry if I call you Miss Botka today. It's just kind of something I'm used to saying a lot. If you could roll call for us, please.
No worries. Sounds good. Constable Hogarth.
Oh.
Monica Perez.
Present.
Constable Kennedy.
Here.
Matt Giordano.
Present.
Maxine Becker.
Present.
And Chairman Dowling.
And I am present, and not only do we have a quorum, but we have six people. So this is fantastic. I guess I jumped the gun. I made the most important announcement that we have today. I will follow that briefly, as we do have the new member. I'll probably give a little bit extra explanation on each item, specifically going towards the complaint section and possible action by the board. Just for a recap, for Ms. Packer, we did have opportunity to go over that last week, but I would think it's prudent to do so this morning. Any announcements, board members? Right, hearing none. We do have the previous minutes. Do we have any movement on modifications or approval?
Constable Kennedy, I move to approve said minutes.
Thank you, Constable Kennedy. Second?
This is Matt, I second.
Thank you, Mr. Giordano. You beat somebody. I don't know who that is, but thank you for the participation, whoever that was. We have a first and a second. All those in favor, please vote in the affirmative.
Aye.
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 Okay. Minutes are approved.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, was there something, Ms. Courtney?
Oh, no, I was talking to Angelica to ask her to pull up the legislative update. We're just moving on.
If you have something to do, we can move that up. Is that something you'd like to do? Move E up to before call to the public?
Oh, sorry. No, we can do call to the public.
No, okay.
My bad.
Oh, you're okay. I know everybody's time is stretched thin. If we need to accommodate, please jump in and let me know. So at this time, we will make the call to the public, and this is the time the public can make oral comments to the board. We don't have any written statements. Those would not be read as part of the meeting record. Members of the board, we don't discuss things that are not on the agenda. So unless the comment relates to something on the agenda, the board's ability, excuse me, to act on that comment is limited to directing staff to study, responding to any criticism, or scheduling for further consideration at a later date. Just for the public, we have 2 minutes. I'll have a stopwatch. We want to make sure that we do keep the meeting running in an orderly, timely manner. So if I do need to interrupt you during that, if you do take that opportunity, I'm not being disrespectful at all. And I will give you a little bit more time, but we will call it it won't be a lot. So I'll put it out for the public. Anybody like to make comment today? And just to make sure that there's not any technical difficulties on that, is there anybody in the public who would like to make comments? Okay, hearing none. Ball's in your court, Ms. Courtney. We have financial report and legislative update. Any order that you may want to take?
Sounds good. Well, really quick on the financial report, we don't have anything to provide because we've not gotten that back yet. So you will have multiple months in the next meeting.
Thank you for that. That was a quick financial report. Anybody have a
There
question?
you go. So we'll move on just really quick to the legislative report. And before we jump into some of the bills, just to give you a quick overview of kind of where we are this legislative session. We're in day 88. Over 1,600 bills have been introduced to this legislative session. 55 have passed, 4 have been vetoed, and 51 signed. So we're at an interesting phase in the legislative process. All of the bills have cleared committees. If they're still moving, they've cleared committees in both chambers. And now it's a lot of floor debate and discussion amongst all of the legislators. This also really starts or expedites the negotiation and the process on the budget. So what we call budget discussions or small group meetings are started. So legislators are starting to prioritize their budget asks with House and Senate leadership. And obviously the governor's office will continue to do the same. We're at 88 days. Ideally, this legislature likes to adjourn around 100 days. I don't see that happening anytime soon. So similar to the last few years, I think we'll be going well past the 100-day deadline, which, you know, isn't necessarily a hard and fast deadline because they can always extend it. But we'll jump into the bills. So a few of the bills we've been tracking or just kind of keeping an eye on for the board are dead at this juncture. And those are Senate Bill 1082, which is Constable's report to the Board of Supervisors. Senate Bill 1243 is also dead, which is open meeting call to the public. And then finally, Senate Bill 1349, software licensing contracts and requirements, which has to do with websites, is also dead. So I'll just kind of run through kind of what is still moving and where they are. So the service and mileage fee, which is increasing the rates from $5 to $10, is moving through the process. It's pending the Rules Committee in the House. So that is, while it's been in Rules Committee for a while, that's maybe a little bit concerning, but it is still at this juncture alive. And then on training for new constables, this was signed by the governor this past week. So this applies to newly elected constables to allow them to kind of get training available as soon as they become a constable. And then on the next page, Senate Bill 1372, public records, if there's a commercial purpose. So you have to disclose when requesting public records, if it's for a commercial purpose and what that purpose is. This has passed the House Committee of the Whole a couple weeks ago on the 27th of March. So the next step with this will be a full House vote, which should be coming up relatively soon. House Bill 2390, which is the JPs and the constables allowing for online signature gathering, which is common for all other offices throughout the state, was signed by the governor just this last week as well. And then House Bill 2927, public meetings, records requirements, and penalties, is at this juncture still moving. It is in Senate caucus, so they should be debating it here relatively soon. But this requires meetings that are recorded to hold on to those recordings and to make them available within 3 days. House Bill 2722, public records, or excuse me, public resource expenditures prohibition. Has moved through the Senate committee as well as the House committees. It requires that if you're a public entity, you cannot use public funds to provide to private or individual organizations. This is, I think, concerning to many entities as it furthers the Arizona gift clause ban. I have a feeling even if this bill should make it through the legislature, even though it's got significant opposition, this would probably be a bill that the governor would veto because this does hamper like Arizona Commerce Authorities. It hampers cities and towns from entering into grants or agreements with with nonprofits and associations and things like that, which would really have an impact, especially on some of the kind of social services. House Bill 2391 is the JP Constables, the signatures. This one is pending caucus as well, and it's been there for a little while. But this would require, so for precincts that are, wait, let me go back. So for counties with populations less than 1 million, at least you have to collect signatures on at least 1%, but not more than 10% of qualified signers in the precinct, or 300 signatures, whichever is less. And then finally, 1243, which is our last bill on the report, as I mentioned earlier, the call to public bill is dead for this session because it did not make it through the House committee last month. And with that, I would be happy to answer any questions.
As of what day was this were these determinations made, Ms. Levinas?
On the bills on what's dead,
Yeah.
and so we actually just updated it last night.
Oh, okay. And I was only asking, I had heard that 2391 and 1161 had gone to the governor's desk. I could be incorrect. I'm sure you have much better information than I have. Regarding that, just what
So yeah, 1231 and 2390 were signed. Which one did you say had gone to the governor's desk?
I thought 1161, and I don't have it. I was just taking a few notes when you were talking. This I heard 2391, the signatures. I had heard that one had got to the governor's desk as well as the SB 1161 as well. I could be.
The one that made it to the governor's desk is the where you can do the online signatures through the Secretary of State's portal. The one that hasn't quite made it there is clarifying that for counties with the population of 1 million or less, that you have to collect between 1% and 10% or 300, whichever is less.
But the writ fee is the one that would probably affect us as the board the most. That one has not made it yet.
That one has not made it yet, 1161.
Well, thank you. Anybody have questions?
Yeah, this is Monica, and I am wondering if you could share this slide with us. Just for record keeping, it's very informative. I like the way that you guys broke it down. I follow a lot of these myself, so I really like the format. It just gives a great, quick kind of overview of it, and I can appreciate that. Could you share that with us?
Sure, we'd be happy
Okay.
to.
Thank you.
Chandani will be back next week. If it's okay, I'll have her send it then. Does that work?
Yes, that works.
Perfect.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask a question just for a simple civics lesson to help me understand better?
You sure you want to ask me? But go, you can ask the question. I'm sure somebody will have an answer.
I hope so. I'm just curious. When something's set for the cow and it's now it's marked retained on calendar, what exactly does that mean?
Ms. Levinas.
Sure, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, that could mean a variety of things. So when bills go to CAL, that's kind of their first opportunity. And it's called Committee of the Whole. Sorry, I use the acronyms. So when it goes to Committee of the Whole, that's the first opportunity that legislators have to debate the bill. It is also the opportunity to amend the bill and to add the committee amendments. Sometimes they're held or retained on the CAL calendar because further work needs to be done. They need to tweak amendments. They're having stakeholder meetings, but it could also be retained on CAL because the bill sponsor has decided not to move forward with it, or that basically the bill could potentially be dead, and they just don't want to move forward with it. So it can be a variety of items that is holding it back.
Thank you very much. I know that's a little off topic for this board, but I appreciate the explanation.
Absolutely.
Ma'am,
but I
can
think there was.
Can I draw your attention to the chat? There's another question in the chat.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that as well. Actually, I'm not aware of what each bill is. I tend to just follow the legislature when they're done, not while they're working so much. Mr. Blake, can you ask the question, please?
What about Senate Bill 1544? That's the one that restricts evictions due to the temperature.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, that bill is also dead for this legislative session. It did not get a hearing in the Senate. It was assigned to Regulatory Affairs Committee and did not ever get out of the committee. And I should preface this. I say that bills are dead, but nothing is ever finally completely dead until the legislature adjourns sine die. But typically when the bills don't make it out of committee like that, they didn't even make it out. This one didn't make it out of the initial chamber. That's typically a pretty good sign that it's not going to reappear somewhere in the process. But never say never.
No, and thank you, Constable Blake, just for giving me awareness that that was on the table. So thank you. That's good information. Thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Levinas on legislature?
Mr. Chair, off topic, same topic, but I think that we should also thank Mr. Constable Blake and the Ethics Board. They did a wonderful job going down to the state legislature, advocating for us. As a new constable, I understood how important in terms of safety that new constable training is. And he even engaged my legislators to call me and ask more questions. So thank you, Mr. Blake.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Great job.
Anybody else? All right. So that sounds like a good segue into President Blake. We're going to have a presentation regarding grants, updates, and requests. Kind of just some food for thought for future planning for ourselves as we are getting up onto to budget season here. So I'll turn it over to you, President Blake.
All right. Thank you. I hope everybody can hear me. Future grants or grant cycles are all based on safety. That's safety for constables and safety for the community members that we deal with. We are just going to throw out for suggestions. Firearms qualification. This would be different from the Firearms Academy that we do, which is a 70-hour class. This would be offered to constables who are in counties that they're having difficulty getting qualified. So it's not the whole class. It would be one day. You would drive down, spend the night, qualify, and then drive home that next afternoon. We would like to suggest defensive tactics. Some people who are in law enforcement or understand this might be like force on force. This would require mats to use like in a gym or like what Maricopa County has at their training facility. This class isn't for everyone, but we would like to offer it to everyone who would want to take that. We would like to also offer classes statewide on taser, baton, and anything, OC spray, anything that's less lethal. Again, that's sometimes extremely difficult to get in the smaller counties. A training grant, we had the bill passed, so we have the opportunity to send trainers. These would be for training constables in a county that there is no one available or has the expertise to train a constable after the training's taken place in January, or if they've been appointed midterm. This grant would be similar to the equipment grant that we offer for appointed constables. It would be something that probably would not be used unless there's an appointment and training needs to take place. And last is with simulations, that is using going into a Maricopa County has a live shoot house. You would go in there and you're using a paintball. If you really want to understand what it might be like to have to defend yourself, that is the way to go when you understand that somebody else is shooting a paintball at you. I've gone through that class, and that was the most eye-opening experience I think I've ever had in training. And that we would like that. To you to take that under consideration. We are still working very diligently on trying to get the $5 RIT fee increase out of rules. It has passed everything else, and I'd like to hope to see that on the governor's desk before they close the legislature. And I'm happy to take any questions.
You had said during that difficulty qualifying, is that just a location issue or is it a competency issue? I don't, I want to make sure we're clear.
It's n not all sheriff's departments are willing to have their constables come and qualify. Even here in Maricopa County, it is difficult to even get on their range, and I can't imagine what it is for the smaller counties unless they have a constable that is has an in with the sheriff. This would just allow the constables to be able to come to a central location. We would offer this probably one time a year, and they would be able to get there, qualify, and go home.
Is a and remind me the quals, is it every year or every 2 years?
Every year.
And that's mandated. I don't know mandated is the right word. That's an ASIP requirement.
That is.
I think I might have another question. I need a second to formulate it. Would anybody have any questions for President Blake? All right, then I will ask on the fly then. So hopefully I can phrase this correctly. I've been through several of the trainings with you guys, and it's a lot of information that comes a lot of different directions, a lot of facets to what the constables are doing, training and getting their continuing education on. Is there a benefit? You were talking defensive tactics, the de-escalation, the less than lethal. Is there a benefit to perhaps doing that in a separate session where they maybe a week or something where the focus is strictly on those things? So to try to take safety and put it in a week and then keep process and maybe some other things in those bigger sessions as far as education and retention, do you think that's a training benefit, Mr. Blake?
That would be a training benefit. Again, it depends on who's participating, the volume of people, and the money that's allowed in the grant. I don't want to overburden the finances that we have. And so when you prepare for your fiscal year here in just about 2 months, we would just encourage the board to choose wisely, and possibly this time around you add nothing if we can't get an increase in the writ fee to the governor's desk and she signs it. The most important things would be our biannual training, firearms qualification, that's the 70-hour class, equipment grants. We do plan on, we as in the board plans on reaching out to communities, counties, and letting them helping them to understand what is available through grants, because as you know, Chairman, the two of us have taught classes to encourage constables to write equipment grants, and yet we continually hear that they can't get their county to provide less lethal or other items that are a safety issue. So we think we need to change the way we're approaching it and go direct to the Board of Supervisors, possibly using Craig Sullivan, with who is the director of the Board of Supervisors for the state, and getting in front of him and his group so that they understand what's available.
Wow, that's a, and if you're going to talk to if you're going to talk to CSA and they actually do something, there might be a, I don't know, a possible increase perhaps. I would hate to talk to them and then everybody applies and then everybody's limited on funds at that point too. So, thank you for making us have to think today.
Okay. And you understand that if there's if say $75,000 is available for equipment, and you have $85,000 worth of grants that are applying for that, the board, it's within your purview to temporarily raise that amount to fulfill the grants, and it's within your purview to say no on the ones that possibly don't qualify.
Yeah, no, we have done that several times in the past. So, right. Thank you. Anybody questions for Constable Blake? Right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Appreciate that information. You had me take a lot of notes this morning. So, Ms. Perez, we'll probably be talking a little bit, just an overview on that, because since you are our budget specialist going through this year. So, thank you for volunteering for that. We do have item H, and that's the equipment vacancies. We don't have any, so we'll move on from that. We'll get into discussion of possible action on complaints. So these are complaints that had already passed an initial screening. They did go out for investigation. Thank you, Mr. Jacobs, for handling that. Where we're at on these matters, and this is what I was speaking about in the beginning regarding going through possible action and stating that today. So on these matters that we have here, we do have a few limits on what we are allowed to do as far as adjudication. Obviously, dismissal would be one option. We could recommend mediation. We could issue warnings, reprimands, or admonishments. We could instruct a constable to take a particular action or take a particular educational class or urge the person to resign from office. On my research, we don't have anybody who has previously been put on probation. We could do a 30-day probation today if we chose to for any matter, but we don't have the item F. There is no recommendation to a Board of Supervisors for any action on any matter. And if we were, I've said it before, I don't necessarily agree with this wording in the statute, but if the board determines that a criminal act has occurred, we would refer it to the county attorney's office. I don't think we're really qualified to make a full determination on a criminal act. That'd be up to an attorney to do, but we do have that option. So the first matter we have is Wallace versus Martinez, CNA 401-2024. And we do have the investigative report. Is there anybody who did not have opportunity to review that? All right, seeing none, I will put that to the board for any possible action on the matter. I'll start discussion on this. I was very appreciative of the work that Mr. Tate, Counselor Tate, put into that. As I read it, it's really nice sometimes when you have an attorney sum a lot of things up for you that you're already thinking to make it a lot easier to express. Just my opinion. I know we have five other members here, so I would like to put it out for any action or discussion. All right, I just looked down to make sure that I wasn't muted, so and I'm not. So, anything from the board on this matter? Well, I'd move.
Mr. Chair, this is Matt.
Yes, sir.
Would one of our constable peers be willing to kind of give us their insight into it? I think I would appreciate their insight into what occurred here.
Can you narrow that for me a little bit, Mr. Giordano? Is there somebody in particular you'd like to receive a summary from other than Mr. Jacobs?
No, I don't want to put anyone on. I withdraw.
No. I think it's best practice not to do the extracurriculars with parties that you have contact with. It wasn't quite clear on whether this was actually an actual action or the constable's there for something else and happened to run into this group. I'm not quite aware of that. But outside of that, I would make the motion to dismiss the matter.
Mr. Chair, Constable Hogarth,
Yes, sir.
I think the constable did probably step out of bounds a little bit on this. I believe the constable should have just left it to the property manager instead of being the go-between on this. It's working kind of in a gray area, especially if you don't get any receipts or anything to back anything up. But after that said, I would go ahead and second your motion.
Is there any further discussion? Right, Ms. Levinas, could you roll call motion to dismiss? And you're muted too, if it matters, if you were talking. There you go.
Constable Hogarth.
Aye.
Monica Perez.
I'm going to abstain.
Constable Kennedy.
Abstain.
Matt Giordano.
Nay.
Maxine Becker.
Aye.
Chairman Dowling.
And I. With the abstentions there, I understand why I wasn't getting much response, but we do have the vote in favor of a dismissal. It matters dismissed. Thank you very much. Let me real quick. There it is. I misplaced page two. CNA 416-2025, Leyva versus Lopez. Again, is there anybody who did not have opportunity to review the complaint prior to the meeting today? Seeing none, we'll put it to the board for any discussion or possible action.
Mr. Chair, Board, I just wanted to confirm that there was some discussion in the documents that there was another attempt to have an interview. I just want to confirm that there was no other communication with the constable or his attorney prior to this meeting.
Mr. Jacobs, if you could help us out, please.
Yes, the email that is quoted in the report is the last communication I've had with either party.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, Constable Hogard.
Yes, sir.
In this report, there was a lot of stuff talking about the video. As far my reading on it is the video was basically of no use because it was out of context. Anytime you take a video and you take pieces out of it, it actually becomes of no value. So I looked at this, taking all the video out of it, and I looking at the report, I don't believe that the constable was really forthcoming and honest with some of the stuff that it was said to the investigator. I would make a motion that an admonishment be given to this constable. That would be my motion.
Mr. Chair, this is Matt. I'll second that.
We do have a first and a second. Do we input to the board if there's any discussion prior to vote on the matter? I have to take the opportunity to thank Mr. Jacobs as we did have that video that was or abrogated, I guess is probably the best way to say it. But also, and I think it was actually submitted by, if I remember right, it was submitted by the constable as well, the full video afterwards. And it seemed like the part that was left out of it was the talking about the inability to actually record the entirety of it, and a few other things that might have been said detrimental towards the case. I just wanted to make note of that. As far as admonishment is concerned, it's important how we interact with people, or how the constables interact with people, everybody, but especially in this situation. They're having a bad day. Things might get said, things we don't like, but the from the constable's own body camera going to the maintenance person and gloating and kind of not being very respectful towards the occupant is of high concern. Regarding that on their own body camera. So I just wanted to make the comment prior to putting the matter to vote on this. Any other discussion though?
Mr. Chairman, this I would just make the comment that it appeared that there was going to the other comment that there was an issue about honesty. I think there was a question at first that was raised that the constable did not know this person lived at that residence, but the evidence I think came out that indeed he had confirmed that, and I think that had that been confirmed, but yet he still was being an impediment to her obtaining her property inside her home. I think if that had been recognized and he had been, accepting of that information, this whole entire situation could have been avoided pretty readily. So I was particularly concerned that he had that information and did not act appropriately on that.
And to be clear, when this if this is passed for the admonishment, the there will be an instruction on that because it's not going to detail everything for the admonishment. What we discussed today, we will be advising to refer to today's meeting for what the board says regarding why the admonishment is in place. So thank you, Ms. Becker. And also too, at one other point, there's a lot of unanswered questions here where the constable has had opportunity to answer those questions. I do appreciate Mr. Jacobs detailing what those questions are, because those are the same questions I have. And as we go through this process, the refusal or the non-ability to answer those questions, that puts us in a position where we would find the answer to those questions not to be in a favorable light towards the constable who chose not to participate fully in the investigation. So another point to make there. Anybody else? All right, Ms. Levinas, we have a motion for a letter of admonishment to Constable Lopez. Roll call, please. We can't hear you if you're talking, or I can't hear you. Maybe it's my end. No. I'll run through the roll call, Ms. Levinas. I see you're writing there diligently, so I will go ahead and do so. Constable Hogard.
Hi.
Ms. Perez.
Aye.
Constable Kennedy.
Aye.
Mr. Giordano.
Aye.
And Ms. Becker.
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well. So by unanimous vote, we will issue the letter of admonishment to Constable Lopez. Thank you, everybody. So as we move into the initial screen of new complaints, just process on that. It only takes one member to want to move a matter forward for it to go to Mr. Jacobs for any investigation on the matter. However, if we do have that one person asking for it, we will still do a roll call just to get a tally of where the board members each stand on moving it forward for investigation. Thank you, Mr. Jacobs, for the report, the brief report that you did put together on this matter. Is CNA 4312025, Alexander versus Pierce. Is there anybody who did not have opportunity to review? Okay. Is there any discussion or action regarding the Alexander versus Pierce matter?
Mr. Chairman, this is Matt.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to move this forward.
Is there a specific part of it that you'd like to direct Mr. Jacobs towards that you have concerns on?
Yeah, I would just like the constable to give an opportunity to address the concerns presented to him, and then just some inconsistencies, maybe some clarification needed on his limited or light duty status and how that restricts his ability to do his job functions.
All right, so we have Mr. Giordano asking to move this forward. And actually, I'll go through roll call, and I'll just ask if anybody has anything individual they'd like Mr. Jacobs to look for on this. Mr. Hogard, move forward.
Aye.
Anything outside of what Mr. Giordano has said?
No, that covers it.
Okay. Ms. Perez.
I agree. I'd like to move it forward, and I think it's just to have the ability to address the concerns.
Thank you, Ms. Perez. Constable Kennedy.
That's the aye for me as well, please. Mr. Chair, on light duty, I still did my monthly logs.
You brought up the point I'm going to make here in a second.
Okay, so I still did my monthly logs, and that's something by statute that we have to do.
Well, Ms. Becker, we'll get back to you in a second then. Yes, and I would be wanting to move it forward. I want to know why the logs aren't done. That's it's documentation. It's required. It came up in that brief investigation done by Mr. Jacobs. So the logs are part of it. I'd like to know what remedy there is to make sure the board is getting the logs that they're the board of supervisors is getting the logs that they're due by statute. So I would be an aye as well. I'm going to go back to you, Ms. Becker. Sorry, Constable Kennedy jumped the gun on you there.
Oh no, I appreciate that. I appreciate her insight. Yes, I agree. Aye.
And I didn't leave anybody out, did I? No, I didn't. Okay, so we'll go ahead and move this forward. Mr. Jacobs, if you could just take note, give me the opportunity to respond, get some clarification on the light duty status, as well as see what's going on with the logs there, please.
I will do that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, this is Courtney. Are you able to hear us now?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we could hear you. We can hear you when you're setting up, too. So we knew you were working on it.
Sorry about that. Thank you.
Okay, thank
Hopefully
you
we weren't that. Too distractive.
No, we would have took a break if it was too loud. You're good. Do you have an administrative update for us, though?
Actually, we do not, other than I think Chandani may have sent you some items or may have said there was no update.
I just know there's a few things I need to sign. This is all I know from Chandani. I thought I'd wait till she got back just to verify whether everything's done.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Anybody have anything they'd like to see on a future agenda at this time? And I think we have the privilege of having Constable Kennedy coming up here in some one of the next few meetings here regarding rules. But we'll follow up on that, make sure everything's agendized correctly for you, Constable Kennedy. All right, that was a wow. It's really nice to have six people. I can't continue to say this enough. If we could just pull a seventh, we'd be set. So now we'll start working on that one. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Mr. Chair, Constable Hogard, I make a motion we adjourn.
I second.
We have a second from Ms. Perez. Very timely and quick on that. Thank you, ma'am. And all those in favor, affirmative, please.
Aye.
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 Hey, everybody, have a great month.
Thank
Appreciate you.
you.
Thank you,
Bye-bye.
sir.